Our first speaker this evening is Pastor Greg Elmquist. Greg pastors a church down in Orlando, Florida, Grace Gospel Church. I met Greg and Trish back in the late 90s. Wasn't it the late 90s? Something like that. They were building a building down in Apopka, right outside of Orlando, and I had been talking to Pastor Paul Mahan, had told me about Greg and said they were building this church and wanted to know if I'd just go down and help him a little bit on the construction of it. And I was able to go down and stay with Greg and Trish for quite a few days. I don't remember how long we were down there, but I mean our hearts had been knit together ever since then. It's coming up on close to 30 years that we've known each other. And that boy has been a lot of water under the bridge, hasn't it, buddy? Greg, I pray God bless you. I love you. Pray you come up, okay?
I love you, brother. I was thinking if there was if there was somebody that didn't love your pastor, he'd have a problem. Marvin didn't tell you that he almost put my eye out on that construction trip, but we did become dear friends, and I'm so thankful for him, and I'm thankful to be here. If you would like to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at one verse of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 22 that has been a great word of hope and comfort and peace to my heart. I hope it will be to yours. It's one of those precious promises of God's word that gives hope to a sinner. And it's the last verse in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, where David, speaking to Abiathar, says to him, "Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard." I've titled this message, "Christ, Our Safeguard." The Old Testament stories, in many ways, are parables. Remember, the disciples asked the Lord, "Lord, why do you speak to them in parables?" And the Lord said, "Because it's not for them to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven." The mystery of the kingdom of heaven is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that hidden truth from the natural man that must be revealed by the Spirit of God. But then the Lord went on to say, "But for you, it is to know." And so he went on to interpret that parable. And these Old Testament stories, in many ways, are parables because they don't point to the characters spoken of in the story. They are representative. Abiathar here that David is speaking to, I hope that you will be able to see yourself in him. David, of course, a man after God's own heart. His name translated means beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We're accepted before God in the beloved. David was a shepherd who risked his life and protected his sheep. He was a king of Israel. He was a sweet psalmist of Israel, wrote much of the Psalms, the one that we just read. Of course, David was the penman of that. But the Lord Jesus is called the Son of David. And David in the Old Testament is not to be looked at. I remember in religion we used to take these Old Testament characters and we would do what we called character studies. And we would try to find things in their lives that we could emulate and things in their lives that were cautions for us. Of course, we were under a works gospel, so anything that would help us to know what to do and what not to do, we found that that's what the Bible was beneficial for. And like the Pharisees, the Lord said, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." And so David is given to us in this story to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the Lord Jesus that's speaking these words to me and you. "Abide with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Now, just to give you a little of the story behind this, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, David is fleeing from Saul. Saul is pursuing David out of jealousy and rage and trying to put David to death. And Saul finds out that David went to a city called Nob and was supported by a priest there. Remember, that's where they gave him the sword of Goliath, and the priest gave him the showbread. And well, in chapter 22, there was a man there in Nob when David was there receiving that support, unbeknownst of the priest that David was fleeing from Saul. And so in chapter 22, there was a man at that scene. His name was Doeg. And his name translated means fear. And he was an Edomite, which were the descendants of Esau. And so everything about Doeg represents that which is at enmity against God and against our souls and against the hope of our salvation against Christ. Doeg in chapter 22 tells Saul that the priest had helped David. And so Saul sends Doeg back to Nob and has the priest and his family and their wives and their children and every animal in that city slaughtered. As everyone put to death. One man escapes. His name is Abiathar. And here he is in our story, telling us about the hope that we have in Christ. Look at verse 20 of our text. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, that was the priest that supported David, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped. He escaped that slaughter, and he fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life, Saul was still seeking David. He that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. Abide with me. That word abide means to stay. It means to sit down. It means to cease from your labors. It means to be still. It means to find all the hope of your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that, abide with me. Turn to me to John chapter 15. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And that's what David is saying to Abiathar. But more importantly, that's what our Lord is saying to me and you. You might say, well, how do I know if I'm abiding with Christ, if I'm depending upon Christ for my life? I think one of the evidence of that is the desire that we have in our hearts for Him to abide with us. In Luke chapter 24, a couple of the disciples are walking back to their home in Emmaus. And it was after the resurrection, and the Lord begins to walk along beside them. And He begins to expound unto them those things concerning Himself from the Scriptures. You remember the story. And when they get to their home, their hearts are so moved by this experience, not knowing that it's the Lord. They're not going to know it's the Lord until the breaking of bread. And that's when we know the Lord for who He is, when He breaks open the gospel, the bread of life, and reveals Himself to us. But before they sat down to eat and before the Lord revealed Himself, one of the disciples said, abide with us The scripture says the Lord acted as if he would have gone on. And had they not said anything, he would have. But out of the fact that their hearts did burn within them as he spoke with them along the way, they were moved to say, Lord, abide with us, for the day is far spent. The day is far spent. I think one of the evidences that I'm abiding with Christ, in Christ, is my need for him to abide with me. For truly the day is far spent. And if he doesn't keep me and abide with me, I have no hope. So when the Lord says, abide with me, oh, the faith, the heart of faith says, Lord, abide with me. Abide with me and keep me. Keep me attached to that vine. Lord, I can do nothing without thee. The other evidence of the Lord abiding with us is perseverance. And an example of that is given to us in another type in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. Paul is on a ship. They're in a horrible storm. The ship is falling apart. Some of the sailors want to escape the shipwreck. And Paul says to the captain of the ship, he says, if any of those men leave this ship, you cannot be saved. He didn't say, if any of these men leave the ship, they cannot be saved. He said, you cannot be saved. Now, the scripture tells us that there were 276 souls on that ship. And anytime the Lord gives us an exact number like that, he's talking about the elect. He's talking about the fact that God knows exactly how many fish are in the net. He knows exactly how many souls were on that ship. And what the Lord was saying to those men, if anyone leaves, if anyone departs from the gospel for whom Christ died, then none of us can be saved. The only hope that any of us can be saved is that we're all saved. That all for whom Christ died must be brought home. The Lord can't lose one of his sheep. And all of his people will persevere. And so here's our hope. Lord, abide with me. And enable me to abide with you. David says to Abiathar, this one man that escaped such a slaughter. And there's going to be a great slaughter in this world. And the wrath of God comes and destroys. I need to escape that slaughter. Nothing will be left alive. It'll all be destroyed. And I need for the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, to say to my heart, abide with me. Fear not. Those that are my enemies are your enemies. But with me, you shall be in safeguard. Second thing the Lord tells us in this verse is to fear not. Someone said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. I haven't counted them, I don't know. I know there's a lot of them. Why is that? Well, what do we say? Ignorance is bliss. You know, Trish and I talk about that a lot. We got married very young and went through some things in our earth. We had children very young, and we didn't have a clue what we were doing. We still don't, but we didn't have any idea what we often say ignorance was bliss. We couldn't survive what we went through then if we had to go through it now, but we didn't know any better. God opens the eyes of your understanding. You're not ignorant. You know that this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of eternal salvation and eternal judgment. And so you can't say ignorance is bliss. You have to say, Lord, I need you to speak peace to my heart. I've got some understanding about my sin. I've got some understanding about your righteousness and about your holiness and your judgment and the eternal consequences of this matter. And if you don't help me, I'm going to be afraid. And so God over and over and over again says to his children, fear not. He said to the disciples who were on that ship, another example, the ships are always a picture of the church. The disciples are on the ship and the Lord walks on the water, and what does he say? Fear not. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know what was happening. Fear not, it is I. It is I. The Lord appeared unto Abraham, the father of the faithful. He said to Abraham, fear not. I am thy shield. I am thine exceeding great reward. Don't be afraid, Abraham. You see, by nature, we have reason to be afraid. And we are in desperate need of the Lord to say, fear not. Remember that story of Jairus who came to the Lord, whose daughter was dying, and he pleaded with the Lord to come and heal his daughter. And so on the way to Jairus' house, the servants of Jairus came and said, bother the master no more. Your daughter's dead. She's gone. And you can only imagine what gripped the heart of Jairus in that moment. And the Lord looked at him with such tender compassion and said, Jairus, fear not. Only believe. Only believe. The only remedy for fear is faith. And here's what God is saying to me and you through the mouth of David to Abiathar. Abide thou with me. Fear not. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to John in the book of Revelation, and John fell at his feet as dead. And the Lord placed his hand on John. Fear not. Fear not, John. I am the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first cause of your salvation. I caused it when I entered into a covenant relationship with my Father in eternity past and agreed to be your surety. And I'm going to bring it to its fruition. And I'm going to make sure that you're brought all the way home to be with me. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's the reason why we have not to fear. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He has satisfied all the demands of God's holy law. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to satisfy divine justice. The holy justice of God required full satisfaction for the sins of God's people. And that's exactly what he did. And he says to me and you, fear not. What a blessing it is to be shut up to Christ. I've got no place else to go. The only hope that I have with my fear is to have my heart fixed on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Abide thou with me, and fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. David was telling Abiathar, your enemy is my enemy. No, you would have thought Abiathar might have had a safer place to go, because Saul was pursuing not only Abiathar, who had escaped the slaughter, but Saul was pursuing David. And as long as Abiathar was with David, Abiathar's life would have been in danger. Let me just go somewhere where I can get lost and Saul will forget all about me and he'll take off after David. No. Abiathar pursued after David. And David said to him, abide with me and don't be afraid. Yes, Your enemy is my enemy. We had the same enemy. And God's children have the same enemy that the Lord Jesus Christ had. He conquered every one of them. David knew by the promise of God that he was going to be king of Israel. He knew that Saul was going to fail. He believed God. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ never questioned in his heart that when he bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross and he cried, "It is finished, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," that the Father would have seen the travail of his soul and the Father would have been satisfied and accepted that sacrifice. And he knew that all the enemies that his children face, he would conquer. Our enemies. Well, sin. Sin's our biggest enemy, isn't it? Sin's our most experienced enemy, perhaps. The Lord Jesus Christ made an end of sin when he made himself a sacrifice for sin. He bore all the sins of all of his people in his body upon that tree, and he put them away once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. He knew that he was going to be successful in doing that. And so he says now to me and you, sit down, be still, don't work, abide with me, don't be afraid. Yes, your enemy is my enemy, but I conquered that enemy. I defeated that enemy. I separated your sins as far as you from the east is from the west. And because of what I accomplished on Calvary's cross, God will remember them no more. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore those sins and he put them away. He buried them in the depths of the sea. He's able to say to you and me, fear not. Your enemy is my enemy. Another enemy that you and I deal with is Satan. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil. What is the work of the devil? Death, blindness, deceit. You see, there was a time when we were spiritually dead. We didn't have any life. We were under the dominion of Satan. It was a time we couldn't see, we're blind. Couldn't believe. Didn't have any interest in the gospel. Impossible to believe. Remember when Samson went down to Gaza, and the name Gaza translated means strength. And Samson went down to Gaza and took the gates off of that city with their posts and carried them like 20 miles away on his shoulder. There we have a picture of our strong man, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? The gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against the gospel. I'm going to go into the very pit of hell and I'm going to lead captivity captive. Those who are captive to Satan, those who cannot believe, those who cannot see, those who cannot live, I'm going to destroy the works of the devil and give them life. Your enemy is my enemy, but don't be afraid. I've defeated him. The Spirit of God comes. He convicts his people of sin because they believe not on him, of righteousness because the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the Father and he's our righteousness before God, and of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. And our David says to us, abide with me. Don't be afraid. Your enemy, sin, Satan, I've defeated them. The Lord Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ overcame the world, and we in Him have overcome this world. So that when John in 1 John chapter 4 speaks of that Antichrist that's in the world, and the Lord assures us that though the Antichrist, all that is contrary to the gospel, the free will works mentality of the world will not overcome you, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. There we have it. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us, your enemy was my enemy, but I conquered that enemy. I conquered that enemy. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? We have tribulation in this world. Distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. We experience all those things in this world. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered the world. And He says to His children, my enemy, your enemy, is my enemy. But don't be afraid. Abide right here. I've conquered him. You and I have one more enemy that we must face. The final enemy is death. And that's the enemy that the Lord Jesus conquered in his death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus, we have the victory. He defeated death. He so satisfied the Father in what He came to do that the Father could not allow His Holy One to see corruption. If we could say it this way, the Father was obligated to raise His Son. He's the first among many brethren. That's His resurrection. And there's our hope. We need not fear death. The Lord Jesus says, your enemy was my enemy. But I defeated that enemy. I conquered death. I brought life out of death. You know, it seems like most people are worried about physical death, but the Bible makes it clear that that's not our concern. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. People worried about first death, they don't know anything about second death. Truth is, if you only die once, if you're only born once, I should say, you're going to die twice. You die physically, you die spiritually, the second death. But if you're born twice, physically and spiritually, you only die once. And so the Lord said, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, for the second death hath no power over him. What is our part in the first resurrection? When the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we raised from the dead. God's people, all of God's people were in Christ. So the life that he lived, we lived. The death that he died, he died. The resurrection that he raised, we were raised in. And the ascension into heaven, the scripture says that we are in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus right now. So Christ, our union with Christ as our representative, there's our hope. He conquered death. We have part in the first resurrection. Second death has no power over us. Lazarus died. His sisters Mary and Martha were grieving. The Lord comes after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha says to the Lord, Lord, I know that my brother will rise in the resurrection. Lord Jesus Christ says to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He's talking about that second death. If you live and believe in Christ, you don't have to worry about a second death. A separation from God for all eternity. The Lord Jesus conquered that in his death. And the last thing that David says, with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. Noah and his family were safe in the ark. That ark is Christ. The deluge of God's wrath cannot touch you if you're in the ark. The ark was pitched from within and without. No harm could come to those in the ark. With me, you're in safeguard. God gave the children of Israel cities of refuge in the Old Testament so that those who killed someone accidentally could flee into that city of refuge, and the avenger of blood, the law, could not pursue that person in the city of refuge. That city of refuge is Christ. We know now, if you're a believer, you know now that you were there at the cross, and it was your sin and it was your voice that said, crucify him, crucify him. But prior to being in the city of refuge, we committed that murder, that death accidentally, didn't we? We didn't know. We were ignorant. So we were made to know that we were the one that we pierced, Zechariah says. Here we flee to the Lord Jesus as our city of refuge. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man shall be a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'll be your safeguard. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteousness runneth unto it and are safe. You know, this word safeguard is the word for prison. Be shut up to Christ. You know, all men are prisoners. You're either prisoner to your sin, a prisoner to Satan, or you're prisoner to Christ. And only those who are bound to the Lord Jesus Christ know anything about freedom. If you, an unbeliever thinks, well, you know, to be a prisoner of Christ, I lose all my freedom. Oh, no, no, right now, if you're not a prisoner of Christ, you have no freedom. You're a slave to your old man. You're a slave to your sin. You're a slave to your desires, your nature. You're a slave to Satan. You're a slave to death. Oh, you have no freedom. But if the Lord makes you free, you're free indeed. And where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will be your safeguard. I'm going to not only protect you, but I'm going to give you liberty. Freedom to love, freedom to believe, freedom to rejoice, freedom to know God, freedom to not be afraid. So the Lord Jesus says to me and you, abide with me. You're not. Your enemy is my enemy. I defeated him. And I will be for you your safeguard.